New music with Zan on Double J.
Thanks for making some time today to chat with us about your record. We're featuring it this week on Double J.
That's so cool. So happy to hear it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, stoked that you could join us in the feature week. And I guess the story of this album is a bit of a concept. I'm still trying to wrap my head around it, having watched the videos and stuff like that. So I guess most obviously for people who are coming to it, just listening to the songs and not necessarily caught up on the whole preamble before releasing, what is the story of Whispering Pines? What is Whispering Pines?
Whispering Pines is our, it's our recording studio, rehearsal space, but more generally just kind of our clubhouse. It's where we hang out as a band. And we've been working there for about 7 years now. It's an old studio in the heart of LA. Yeah, it's been there since the 70s. We know who built it and who worked there early on, but the rest of the history is a little cloudy. So we've been forced to sort of invent our own history for the place.
It looks from the pictures I've seen online like it's almost stuck in time. Where in LA is it? Because it's really of a time, isn't it? It's very kind of 70s.
It is. I mean, the location is, you know, want to keep it somewhat secret, but it's right in downtown LA, not far from, you know, the thick of it, but it's tucked in a really strange spot behind an auto shop, and you wouldn't know it was there from the road at all. You wouldn't notice it, but it's a beautiful old studio, kind of the style they don't really make anymore, you know, big tracking room and glass control booth and everything. And like you said, it's kind of trapped in time. The decor is still very, very much of the period it was built in the early 70s.
It feels like downtown LA has gone through a huge change in the last 10 years or so, but there's still those little gems, aren't there? There's so many hidden stories and hidden secrets that lay dormant for so many years in that DTLA area, huh?
Yeah, and this city in general. I mean, I moved here not really knowing what to expect about 15 years ago and just have found it sort of an endless supply of surprises, you know, and it's just, there's something weird to be uncovered in just about every corner of this city. So yeah, this is just another one of those gems, I guess.
It's certainly a place where you feel like there's a lot of stories in the underground. It's a very creative city as well. When you're making music within this space of Whispering Pines, does the feel of the studio infiltrate what you do? Do you feel really affected by the surrounds and the stories that have gone on beforehand?
Yeah, we do. I think the stuff we know that was done there, the people we know who worked there are interesting enough, but there's just also sort of like something about the unknowns that are really intriguing to us too. And the studio has almost become like another, I don't know, an extension. I don't know if it's a member of the band, but an extension of the band, like an integral part of what we do, just because we spend so much time there and do so much of our work there. And it has so much character. It's sort of seeped into everything we do. And, you know, it feels kind of haunted in there. Like when you're there late at night, working, you can kind of get the sense that there's spirits hanging around in there or something. Not in a threatening way, but
I was going to say, are they friendly?
Yeah, I think they're friendly. They seem to have been friendly.
You got
and
some
provide creative fodder for us.
Yeah, Casper the Friendly Ghost and other friends just rolling through. The record is so beautifully warm and rich. We've been really loving playing it on Double J all this week as we feature it. And it has, you know, a lot of familiarity through it as well. But in terms of the lyric writing on this new record, did Whispering Pines have an effect on that as well in terms of the stories that you were telling on this particular album?
Yeah. So kind of imagining who those ghosts were that haunt the studio was a big genesis of the stories behind the album. You know, I always find it pretty useful to make avatars to write through. You know, my experience in life is, you know, limited only to what I've been able to live. And there's so many other things to explore. So once I kind of know what I want to write about, which is usually influenced by something that's happened to me personally or someone close to me, sometimes I'll create characters to write through. And in this case, for this album, we knew we wanted to create something that was sort of indefinably nostalgic. And so it seemed like the perfect opportunity to write from the perspective of these characters of the past who we imagined working in our studio. Because we could kind of play with genre and time period and perspectives on things and just kind of, yeah, write about emotion and experience from a perspective other than our own. So we created these whole backstories for these characters so we could sort of fully inhabit them and feel like we were writing from their perspective.
You can see a little bit of that, which makes so much more sense now having heard the record. But you did a teaser in the months leading up to the release of this record on your YouTube, and you see it. Each of the songs is kind of relegated to a different fake artist on the vinyl and put up on the piano. It's a really wonderful little video, which, yeah, makes a whole lot more sense now. If you're kind of curious about it, you could check it out on Lord Huron's YouTube. It's wonderful. We're chatting with lead singer, main songwriter Ben Schneider from Lord Huron, whose feature record, Long Lost, is what you're hearing all this week on Double J. Let's play the title track, because this has got such an epic kind of spaghetti western ballad feel to it, which I love. Is that what sort of what you're reaching for on the title track to Long Lost?
That's definitely one of the genres I was reaching for. I think of all the songs on the record as kind of, you know, combining several elements into our own stew, I guess you'd say. But definitely a big part of that one is that, yeah, that big epic spaghetti western vibe, which, you know, again, is trying to reach for this thing that's nostalgic in a way you can't quite put your finger on. It's familiar but new, hopefully, and sort of cinematic in its scope. And that's the backdrop for the story we want to tell.
We're talking a lot about nostalgia, and I know that you wrote this record and I guess had most of it done before the pandemic hit. But I also noticed, I'm kind of curious about this concept of nostalgia, because in the last 18 months that it's been raging all over the world, I noticed as a radio DJ that we were tending a lot more to nostalgia in terms of the music that we were listening to for comfort. Certainly I was watching lots of old episodes of Sex and the City and Parks and Recreation to just kind of like make myself feel, you know, that comfort of familiarity and groundedness, and also just give our brains and hearts a little bit of a rest. How do you feel about nostalgia? And I guess particularly having now created this record that is so beautiful and comforting and warm with that idea, and now it coming out in the thick of this pandemic where people have been unintentionally drawn to that feeling as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, as you said, this is by no means a pandemic record. You know, it was mostly written and recorded before it happened. But as with so many things in life right now, I feel like everything's colored by that experience now for everybody in the world. You know, it's not even one of those things where it's confined to a certain subset of people. It's everybody has gone through this same intense experience. And I think it's impossible to view anything coming out right now without, or anything in general, without looking at it through that lens. So although it wasn't written with that intention, I think a lot of the themes that we were thinking about when we made the record have kind of been enhanced or recolored, recast.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's an album that talks about love, about lost love, but also time is a really big part of this. Again, our ideas of time have completely warped in the last year or so. But also for you, as you've been continuing to make music with your band and grow up, do you feel as though your concept of time in general has shifted, and you think about the passage of time differently as you get older?
Yeah, maybe a little bit differently as I get older, just because, I don't know, having more of it to consider behind me, but also having it feel like so little has passed. I mean, I still feel like, you know, a young man in so many ways, or early in my life in so many ways, but considering where I am in the timeline sometimes is a little scary, I guess, or at least surprising to see how far along I've come on, you know, my life's timeline. And I don't mean that in like a pessimistic, depressing way. It's just interesting. And how a big idea we were thinking about on this record was just how time distorts things, or how it's a prism for your memories. We kind of call it time's blur, and how when you look back, memories are so distorted as more time passes, and they become something else. They almost take on a new form. And I've thought about that a lot lately in my life, just looking back at things I've been through and how my perspective on them has changed with the passage of time. And I think everyone's seeing that in real time right now, almost like condensed, you know. I think everybody feels like they've lived 10 years in this past year. And a big part of that is just things have changed, you know, irrevocably in so many ways. And, you know, even as small as things like your favorite restaurants closing and never coming back. You know, it's just a real compression of time and of the effects of time.
You mentioned 10 years. How about 20 long years? I want to play another one of the songs from this record that I really love on this album. Can you tell us before I press play about 20 long years and the making of this song?
I mentioned before kind of creating avatars to write songs through, and this one is more a future version of myself, I guess. You know, sometimes it's really useful to just take aspects of your own personality or your own life and sort of take them to their conclusion. In this case, sort of a negative way I could see my life going if I allowed it to, you know, if I followed certain of my impulses. So this is kind of me imagining a future version of myself who I hope I never meet.
Did you talk yourself out of it through this song? Is it? It's kind of like a mantra, I guess, giving yourself some advice to future Ben.
That's exactly right. It's like my own form of therapy, I guess. And if I, it's almost like if I write it down, it can't come true.
I have a tale or two to tell you, but the booze just makes me slow. Oh, I could rack my brain remembering, but I guess maybe I'll just go.
This is very much an album, Ben. This is a record that you're supposed to put on and listen to as the whole. There is little interludes. It really invites you into a space and beautifully encourages you to switch off any other second screening or distractions to really live in that space. What's it been like for you to now release this record? It's now been out for a good week and a half or so, and invite other people into that space as well. How have you enjoyed the reaction to this album?
So far, it seemed really positive. Like you said, you know, it's very much meant to be listened to as an album. And I think some people think that's sort of a dying art form, but it's one that we still believe in pretty strongly. And it's one that has had so much impact on my life over the years, you know, listening to records and looking at the sleeves and really living inside of, like you said, living inside of this space that artists have created. So far, you know, people have seemed to be willing to go in there with us to just kind of sink in and listen to this thing front to back and let it wash over them. And, you know, I believe in the songs on their own too, but like you said, there's a certain added layer of meaning when you listen to them in sequence and in the whole form of the album. And yeah, so far it's been great. Everybody seems to be enjoying it. So that we couldn't ask for anything more than that.
Are you going to be able to take it on the road in the States? I know that your vaccination situation is a little bit better than ours here in Australia, but you've also been through the ringer much worse than us. Are you able to take it out on the road?
Nothing's certain, I guess. But as of now, we have some stuff booked in the fall, in September. It's all outdoor venues. So as of now, it's looking really likely. We've had other stuff booked that's obviously been moved. So who knows? But this one seems pretty solid. And I'm still don't know what all the protocols are going to be. You know, we're waiting to see if it's going to be show your card or prove you're vaccinated or wear a mask or distanced. But hopefully that'll all be sorted out and everybody will be comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And safe, obviously. I sure hope it's true though, because we're just dying to play this stuff live. You know, there's been times at the end of the last cycle where I felt pretty tired of touring, but that seems so remote right now. We're just, things are starting to open here. I'm getting to see my friends again, and we're just really, really excited to play.
I'm excited to hear it. It's been wonderful to see the turnaround in the States as we've been watching here in Australia. And yeah, it certainly puts everything into perspective, doesn't it? I'll never complain about having to go to a party or go to a show ever again.
Yeah.
Take it while you can. The album closes with some real existential angst before you go into about 14 minutes of amazing atmospheric, I guess, void, but not void at all. There's a line, what does it mean if it all means nothing, that you kind of loop and loop and loop. Did you find an answer to that question?
No, I think it's pretty unanswerable. I guess what I've found in my own life, the meaning I've found in my life is just sort of the constant asking of that question, not necessarily expecting an answer, but being willing to ask it. You know, I think I take a pretty science-based approach to the universe, and I think there's a real beauty in that, but it's hard for me anyway to see that there's any sort of overriding point to everything in that sense that a lot of people kind of search for. And that can seem really, I don't know, daunting. But to me, there's a hope and a real meaning just in asking that question and considering that question and being willing to sort of face the dark things in life and the those big endless questions. So that was my attempt at a 60s pop version of that question, that last song on the album.
Right around Australia, you are Zan Rowe on Double J.